This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, we are living still in the time of the coronavirus, and there's a lot of concern about whether one should open the masjid or not open the masjid. And all this revolves, of course, around the topic of salah. So I'm going to comment on, we'll see, inshallah, what the Quran and Sunnah says about an interpretation that could mean that the masjid should either be closed or should be opened. But inshallah, we'll discuss that later on. But for now, I want to introduce the subject by looking at Islam and the salah in the context of Islam. I mean, we know that Islam is not only salah. We know that Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنْ صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِي وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِي. We know the Prophet said that the first thing upon which we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah will be our salah. And if we pass the test of salah, then we pass all the other tests. That is the major test. If we fail the test of salah, we'll fail all the other tests. Never mind what it may be. What does that mean? It means that, yes, salah is the middle pillar, the center pillar. But there are four other pillars around it. There's tawheed, la ilaha illallah. Then there is salah. Then there is zakah. Then there is fasting. Then there is hajj. So all this forms a holistic Islam. You can't extrapolate, take one thing out of Islam and say this is Islam. No, Islam is not only the five pillars. Of course, there's a sixth pillar that some of the ulama add, which is jihad, but it involves your whole life. That's why we say that Muslims live Islam 24/7. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make Jum'ah, we make everything else, but our lifestyle incorporates the whole of Islam. And that Islam is called the Sharia. So what is Sharia? Sharia is that which reminds us always of revelation. When we say the word Sharia, we're talking about revelation. We are talking about the commands, advice, and etc., etc., which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, everything it stems from. So the sunnah comes from the Quran. We are told to obey Allah, His Prophet, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be obedient to Allah and be obedient to His Messenger. So these two obediences are equal. So the Quran is our first port of call, but without the Sunnah, we won't understand the Quran. So the Quran is the second source of Sharia. These are the two primary sources of Sharia. So everything contained in the Quran. Fiqh on the other hand, I've said this before, fiqh on the other hand, we talk about fiqh, that is a construct of man. Man applied his mind to the Quran and the Sunnah and many other things besides that. Qiyas and Ijma', which some people say is a methodology, not a source, but be that as it may, there are many sources. Qawl al-Nabi and so forth and so on. The words of the Sahaba, the instructions of the Sahaba, the juristic views that the Sahaba gave when they were confronted with cases. All this involves fiqh. And because it is the application of the human mind upon all those sources, it is man-made. It's made by man. And that's why the fiqh is a continuously developing science within the Islamic science. So having said that, when we read about salah, we know the importance of salah. We know it is the miftah al-jannah. We know that. We know without that there is no iman. There is no deen. Al-Farqu, the Prophet says, Al-Farqu bayna al-Muslim wal-Kafir al-Salah. The Prophet said that the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is Salah. So your name can be whatever your name may be. Your father's name can be what it may be. You may be buried as a Muslim. You may wear the clothes of a Muslim, but if you don't make Salah, that is the difference between you and the non-Muslim. So that which identifies a Muslim is his Salah. So Salah is extremely important. And that is why it's an important topic for us to discuss today. But again, Salah is not everything. We read in the Hadith Qudsi, and you know what the Hadith Qudsi it is, where the words come from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the inspiration revealed to the Prophet in whatever way Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala chooses comes, and that, so the words is from the Prophet, inspiration from Allah, and the Hadith is called Hadith Qudsi. And when we narrate Hadith Qudsi, we say, قال الله عز وجل, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala says, إنما أتقبل الصلاة ممن تواضع بها لعظمتي. So the most important question we ask ourselves is, how do I know my salah is accepted? What are the indications on this dunya for me to say that, look, I pray so many salah, I steadfast on my salah, I do it every waqt. But how do I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting my salah? Can I do whatever I want to do as long as I make salah and Allah will accept it? As long as I make the rak'at? As long as I read what I have to read? In other words, can salah be separated from our lives as Muslims and human beings on this dunya? What does Allah say? Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَتَقَبَّلُ الصَّلَاةَ, I will only accept the salah of the following people. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the measurement by which He will measure our salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will only accept the salah of the following people. Number one, إِنَّمَا تَقَبَّلُ الصَّلَاةَ مِمَّنْ تَوَاضَعَ بِهَا لِعَظَمَتِ, I will only accept the salah of the person who uses his salah in order to humble himself to my majesty. In order to humble himself to my majesty. In other words, when you take khudu and you're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not about where you are, who you are. It's about your thoughts about what you're going to do now. And what are you going to do now? When you say, Allahu Akbar, you are going to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is, so Allah says, this is the first requirement of the acceptance of salah. That your intention to make salah should be, must be, litawadu, to humble yourself. To humble yourself to what? To humble yourself to the majesty of the creator of the universe. That's number one, first condition. Second condition, وَلَمْ يَسْتَطِلْ بِهَا عَلَىٰ خَلْقِ. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hadith Qudsi, and the person who makes salah does not feel himself superior to my other creation. So it's all about humility. So first, humility to Allah. First, second condition, that you must not think or feel or consider yourself because you are making salah, oh, I make salah, so I'm better than X and Y and Z. No. No. You can't use your salah to boost your own ego. Astaghfirullah. How could you worship Allah and be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yet massage your own ego at the same time? That's hypocrisy. So we should always never look down on people who don't make salah. Just encourage them to make salah. Invite them to make salah. Make it clear to them that this is the difference between Jahannam and Jannah. Allah forgives. We don't know. And a man can change his mind. And maybe a person didn't make salah his whole life. But in the latter part of his life, maybe in the last month of his life, we don't know when we're going to die, the person starts making salah. And the person is so seer, he makes tawbah. Say, Allah, I haven't made salah. I want to make tawbah. And he starts making salah. Allah accepts it. And he goes to Jannah. And the other man, again, he makes salah his whole life. And finally says to himself, why must I make salah? I'm making salah my whole life. I'm still poor. I still don't have this. Look at that man. He doesn't make salah. He's a rich man. Astaghfirullah. And you will go to Jannah. So do not judge. In other words, what Allah is saying is, Lam yastatil bi ala khalqi. Do not judge those who don't make salah. Encourage them to make salah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَبِتْ مُصِرًا عَلَى مَأْصِيَةٍ. And the person who makes salah, his salah I will accept if he does not continue to commit the same sin over and over and over and over again. Otherwise, if there are sins you commit, don't do them over and over. Make tawbah and leave them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَطَعَ النَّهَارَ فِي ذِكْرِ. The third condition is, you must break up the day in order to remember me. Make his zuhr, make his asr, make his maghrib, make his shab, make his fajr. Break up your day, have time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? It means just not make salah like this. No, you make salah with tawadu. You make salah, take your time. You make salah, after the salah, you make your adhkar, your dua. Sit and contemplate on who you are, the benefits, the values and the benefits which Allah has given you as a human being and as a Muslim. ورحم المسكين. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the next requirement is that you should be merciful to the poor. Merciful to the poor. What does it mean being merciful to the poor? It means to be generous to the poor. That's what it means. What else can it mean? Speak nicely to them. When you give to them with a smile. And make a good niyyah. And don't give them the food that you won't eat. That's not charity. Give them what you yourself would eat. And if you won't eat it as it is, if you took it out of the fridge and it needs to be warmed up, then put it in your microwave and warm it up. And then give it to the person. There is a beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn al-Shaghir. It's reported by Imam Muslim in book number 1, hadith number 483. The Sahabi says that he saw the Prophet ﷺ reading Surah At-Takathur, Al-Hakum At-Takathur. Hatta Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are busy with what? Seeking the fortunes of this dunya. Takathur. And we're always looking at what our balance in the bank is, how much money we've made. We're always concerned about how much money. Will this last me for my lifetime? Will this be enough for this? Will this be enough for that? Will this whole day we are busy calculating and calculating and calculating? Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until we go and visit the graves. Allah doesn't say you're going to be buried until you get buried. No. Because burial is just it's a moment in an everlasting existence. Just a moment. So we just visit there, then we go again. We shouldn't stay there. What does the Sahabi say? So he heard the Prophet ﷺ read this whole surah, Alaikum al-Takathur, and then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Yaqul ibn Adam, man says, human beings, they say, Mali, Mali, my wealth, my money, my business. Wa hal laka, the Nabi ﷺ says, Hal laka ya ibn Adam, O son of man, what do you have of your wealth? Illa ma akalta. Prophet says, what do you have of your wealth? Except that which you eat. or have eaten? What if later? And it's now gone. It's turned into something else. And so you continue eating. What is your life except what you eat? Walabista, and what you wear, and what you wear out. So what is your Prophet, what is your wealth? Your wealth is what you eat and what you wear. And once you've eaten, gone it is. Once you've worn it, it's worn out. What a sadaqta. And the Prophet said, and that which you, that act of charity, all your acts of charity, fa'amdaita, that is all that remains of your wealth. What does it mean? Only your acts of charity is what remains of your wealth. It means that the only thing that you'll take with you to the other life, the only thing that will measure for you and which will stand for you and which will support your standing on the day of Qiyamah will be your acts of charity. Subhanallah, your acts of charity. So one day the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slaughtered a sheep and he told Aisha, please distribute the meat. So after a while, he went to Aisha and said to Aisha, have you distributed all the meat? She said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. I've distributed all the meat except for the shoulder. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no. You have the whole sheep except the shoulder. What does it mean? It means that part of the sheep which you gave away in charity, that's waiting for you in the Akhirah. That's all you have. The shoulder you're going to eat up, there's nothing from that for the Akhirah. But those acts of charity of giving to poor people, those are that which will endure until Qiyamah. So our wealth is just what we eat and what we wear. It's an important fact to remember. So Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on and says, وَرَحِمَ الْمِسْكِينَ. So you do your acts of charity. وَبْنَ السَّبِيلِ. And you have also time and rahmah, mercy for the traveler. People, we meet a lot of travelers in this country. We can't say we don't have the opportunity to help travelers. They're here all the time. They sojourn here, legally or illegally, but they're here. وَالْأَرْمَلَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singles out the widow. The widow. Al-Armala, the widow. Don't forget the widow. Also part of our duty. ورحم المصاب. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will only accept the salah of the person who has mercy for those who has been afflicted. People who are ill, people who are poor, people lost their houses, people have been in accidents. You have a feeling, you feel sad and you ask Allah to help them. You have to have this mercy. So without mercy in your heart for the poor and the needy and the wayfarer and the widow, your salah will not be accepted. Allah says, I only accept the salah of these people who does all these things. So you can't say, well, you walk around the whole day, not smiling, not greeting anybody, but you fajr in the masjid, and dhuhr in the masjid, and asr in the masjid, and maghrib in the masjid, and aisha in the masjid. Even when you go to the masjid, you don't greet people. Allah says, you shall not accept your salah. Because salah is not something which is separate from the rest of your life. You are in salah, that's why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you make dhuhr, you are in salah until asr. And so on and so on. When you think you're going to make asr now, and you think of maghrib, you're still in salah. Dhalika, Allah now describes that person. Allah describes the person whose salah you will accept. Allah says, ذَلِكَ نُورُكَ نُورِ الشَّمْسِ. The person who has all these mercies for the people whom Allah has designated, Allah says, their light will be like the light of the sun. Their light will be like the light of the sun. أَكْلَأُهُ بِعِزَّتِي. I will guard them with my honor, with my honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will guard them. I will protect them. I will take care of them. You don't have to worry. وَاسْتَحْفِظْهُ مَلَائِكَتِي. And I will instruct my angels to protect them. أَجْعَلُهُ مِنَ الظُّلْمَةِ نُورًا. Wherever there's darkness for him, I will give him light. And that is a very broad meaning. Otherwise, whenever he's depressed, Allah will take him out of his depression. Whenever he needs anything, Allah will assist him and help him. أَجْعَلُ لَهُ مِنَ الظُّلْمَةِ نُورًا وَمِنَ الْجَهَالَةِ حِلْمًا. And when he doesn't know anything, when he's ignorant of something, I will teach him. I will change his ignorance to knowledge. I will show him where to get that knowledge. وَمَثَلُهُ فِي خَلْقِي كَمَثَلِ الْفِرْدَوْسِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, finally, and the likeness of that servant of mine, of that slave of mine, who has all with mercy in his heart. He is amongst my creation. He is like Jannatul Firdaus compared to the rest of the Jannah. And we know who will be in Jannatul Firdaus, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu salam. So the implication here is that just as he is like Jannatul Firdaus amongst humankind, so he will be in Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah, in the akhirah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the merciful people. So again, it shows us that you can't just talk about one issue. You have to expand on the issue to show how Islam is not like other religions, church bound or bound with this only and bound with that. Oh, no. Islam is a way of life. We say this so glibly all the time. Oh, you know, Islam is a way of life. But do we live this way of life? And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another hadith Qudsi that salah I divide between me and my servant. When you make salah, there's a division. What is the division? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the servant says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, or says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, Hamadani Abdi. He says to the angels, my servant praises me. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And my servant says, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Most gracious, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Athna alayya abdi. He praises me. Puts praise upon me. Maliki yawmiddin. When we say the Lord of the Day of Judgment, Allah says, Majjadani abdi wa fawwada ilayya abdi. Says, my servant praises me. And he puts his akhirah in my hands. He says, I am the king of the Rev, Yawm al-Qiyah, of the akhirah. Subhanallah. And when we say, Iyaka na'bud wa Iyaka nasta'in, oh Allah, thee do we worship and from thee do we seek help, Allah says, Hada wa baini wa bain abdi wa li abdi ma sa'al. Allah says, my servant says that he worships me and he asks only from me. For my servant is what he wants. This is between me and my servant. And whatever he wants from me. فَإِذَا قَالَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ عَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ آمِينَ. Then Allah says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. This is for my servant, to guide him onto the straight path, not the path of those who have incurred his wrath, neither the path of those who have gone astray. Allah says, this is between me and my servant. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. And whatever my servant asks from me, I will do for him and give to him. He asked me to guide him on the straight path, I'll guide him on the straight path. He says that he asks me for everything. He worships me and he nasta'een, and he asks me for help, so I will help him. So that is the importance of salah in our life. Now the question arises today, and the discussion, and this is my contribution to the discussion. It is not about being right or wrong. When we use our ijtihad, when we apply our minds to the Quran and Sunnah and we come to a conclusion, then only I'm bound by that conclusion. If I convince somebody that it is a correct view, alhamdulillah. If he says no, you have a right to say no. Unless, of course, it's a direct command from Allah. Waqim is salah, for example. Allah says, make salah. I can't apply my mind and say, well, maybe we should only make three or four. No. That's a direct command. muhkam ayah. No interpretation. But there are things which need to be interpreted. There's never been a pandemic as it is now in the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nor in the time of the Sahaba. They couldn't have known because there was no TV and there was no radio to know that. So what we have, we need first to look at the Quran. Now, when we talk about pandemic, we talk about people dying all over the world. All over the world. There's not a single nation that has not been touched by this virus, and there is not a single nation who hasn't lost people because of the virus. May Allah protect us from the virus. May Allah protect everyone else also from the virus. Now, again, the holistic view. We always take the holistic view. Because the Quran and Sunnah is the holistic view. And so, there's something called maqasid al-sharia, the objectives of the sharia. Why did Allah send us the book, the Quran? What is the purpose of this book? Maqasid tells us or informs us as to what the objectives are. Why did Allah send the Quran? For five reasons, basically. Five basic reasons. The first is to protect the deen. You must make salah, you must do this, you must do that. You must protect your deen, you must live like a Muslim, you must have good character. And you must be clean, etc. Lots of laws and regulations which makes us protect this deen. And if we have to protect it with our life, make jihad, we have to do that also. So protection of the deen is incumbent upon every single person. And it is the objective of the sharia. And also to protect the deen of others. Even if it's not the same deen that we have. Second is to protect the nafs. Hifdhun nafs. Nafs means the person, his life. So after the deen comes the most important, the second important objective of this of the Quran and the Sunnah is to protect the lives of human beings, our own lives and lives of others. Number three is hifdhul aql, to protect the intellect. Ah. People must be free to apply their minds, own minds. Allah's not going to ask you about me on the day of Qiyamah. Allah's going to ask yourself, did you apply your mind? You can't say, well, Maulana or Sheikh so-and-so says, no. Allah said, what about you? I sent a book and I sent a prophet to teach you how to apply your mind practically and in every other way. Muhammad s.a.w. was the walking Quran. The Sahaba applied their minds. Allah has given us his brain, not only to learn psychology and theology and so many other things and become medical doctors and engineers and lawyers. No, this mind has been given to us to apply everywhere. We don't have a clergy in Islam. You can't say the Maulana says this and the Maulana says that and this council says that and that. No. You also have to apply your own mind. If it is something new that has come up, if other people have applied their minds, if you feel somebody else has applied his or her mind, and you feel that is the right way to go, then you can accept that. But more so, you must apply. Liyatadabbaru. Allah says, I have sent down this book to you, liyatadabbaru, so that you may apply your mind. La'allahum yatafakkarun. Allah says, so that you may apply, so that they may apply their mind. Think. Yatafakkarun. Yatadabbarun. Apply your mind. We're not robots. We're not Muslim robots. No. We are Muslims to apply our minds. And then the fourth one is nasl and mal. Fourth one is to protect progeny. So there must be a marriage. Children must be conceived within a marriage. It protects our progeny. And then, of course, hifdhul mal. The last one in the list is protection of wealth. So when somebody steals a certain amount of money, more than a certain amount of money, the Sharia says cut off his hand. If somebody kills somebody else and his family doesn't want to forgive him, his life must be taken. وَفِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in taking a life, there is life, oh you people who apply your mind and your heart. If you take a life of the murderer, you save other people from being murdered because they see the punishment and they deter. They are deterred. It's a deterrence. from murdering. So this is the context of the objectives of the Sharia. Very important. So hifdh al-nafs, hifdh al-deen, first of all. Protection of the deen and hifdh al-nafs. What are we busy with now? What is the subject of our discussions around what we're experiencing now? The pandemic. And whose sphere of knowledge? Not about salah. We make salah. We make salah 5 times a day. Every day. Whether we make it, the Prophet ﷺ had said, ad-dunya kulluha masjid. The whole world is a masjid. Wherever you go, it's a masjid. At home, street, marketplace, except the 2 places. The bathroom, always forget the second place. But be that as it may, the whole world is a masjid. Ad-dunya kulluha masjid. Wherever we are, we perform our salah. If we don't do it in jama'ah, we may not get the reward of the jama'ah. But we've completed our, we have completed and made our obligatory ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah wants to give me the reward as if I made it in jama'ah, Allah is capable of everything. Allah can say, well, this man loved to make his salah in jama'ah. He can't do it now. I give him the reward. Like a person who his whole life he stood in salah, but finally he can't stand anymore. Now he sits. He mustn't cry because he can't make sujood anymore. No. His reward will be as if he is standing and making sujood because this was his life. Allah has not given him a weak body, so he can't make sujood anymore. Allah is not unfair. So to say you're not making salah with other people now, you could lose. No. Allah SWT will reward you because it depends on your intention and your life. You can't now cry that the masjids are all closed. Meanwhile, your whole life you didn't go to for jama'at. But now that the masjid is closed, now everyone wants to go to make salah. Want to fight to get to the masjid. No. Allah SWT knows what our intentions are. So let's look at this question first from the Quran. Is there any reference in the Quran that we can use in order to apply our minds to it so we can talk about and discuss it? Yes, there is. I want you to refer to Surah An-Nisa, verse 101 to 103. Because of the paucity of time, I will try and look at the important part of this verse. Allah Ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذَا دَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن أَيْ يَفْتَنِكُمْ أَيْ يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ كَانُوا لَكُمْ عَدُوًّا مُبِينًا. Allah Ta'ala says, when you travel through the earth, you move away from your home, then there's no blame on you if you shorten the salah. We know this. Because Allah SWT says the kafirun, they are always there to maybe attack you, to do harm to you. So the best thing for you is to shorten your prayer when you're traveling. In al-kafirun, yeah. Wa idha kunta fihim fa aqamta lahumu salah. Allah SWT says to the Nabi SAW, so when you are with them, with your companions and you're traveling, then the way you should make salah, this is not just about war. This is Allah SWT says, this, if you're traveling and you fear that people may harm you, so what you do is, Muhammad SAW, you make what is called Salatul Khawf. In fact, the salah itself is called Salatul Khawf. Where one saf will make salah and then another saf. The other saf will stand with their backs and they will watch the environment to see where there's any danger to Muslims. And when the Prophet SAW comes up after making the first rakah, then the first line that stands behind him will go to the back, and the other line will come in front, and they will perform the first rakah, and so forth and so on, until the salah is finished. All the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says twice in this verse. What does Allah say? وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. So there is fear, and there is a danger. Two things. The salah is shortened because of fear and danger. What is the fear? Fear of the enemy. What is the danger? That the enemy might attack you and kill you while you're making salah. So Allah Subhanahu says, وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. So take every precaution. Then Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, further down, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذُوا وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Again Allah says, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Again take precaution. Why does Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala say twice you must take precaution? When people are saying, if you're going to die, you're going to die. That's what people say today. If it's meant for you that you could get the coronavirus and you die, you're going to die. Allah says no. Allah says take precautions. Allah says twice there. And there's another verse. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Third verse in the Quran, Allah also says, oh, you people who believe, take your precautions. You have to take precautions. The salah is called Salatul Khawf. Also, you can... It's Salah travel also. But the Salah, when it comes to battle, is called Salatul Khawf. Fear of the enemy and fear of death, that they may kill you. Not fear of death, but fear that they may harm you and maybe take your life. We are confronted with exactly the same set of circumstances. We have a danger, an enemy. Not an enemy, but a danger. But our danger is not something we can see. Our danger is something that is completely unseen. Nobody can see it. Nobody knows where it is and when it is there. It's called a virus. It's called the coronavirus. It's a deadly virus. Just like somebody wants to kill you with a sword or shoot you with a gun, this virus will do exactly the same. The end result of getting this virus will be that chances are that you will die. Allah, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Allah knows whether you'll die or not. But statistically, we know lots and lots of people have died. So there is an enemy that wants to kill us, called a virus. Fear. All of us have fear. We have fear. The Prophet ﷺ, when he went into battle, he wore his armor. He wore his armor. Now, what does that mean? Should he not fear death? The Prophet himself, should he not want to die in jihad? Why is he putting on armor? He's going to die in any case if he's going to die. Like people say today, oh, you know, jihad maningal, maningal, you know, no matter what. No. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not for you to talk about death. That is Allah's job. That is Allah's work. Allah gives life and Allah takes life. Allah says, you, human beings, what must you do? Khudu hidrakum. If there's a danger and you fear, you take every, Allah says take precaution. Allah says take every single precaution. And what are the precautions that is given to us? I know alims want to be doctors and sometimes doctors want to be alims. But in this particular case, we have to take the advice of the doctor. Contact the advice of the alim. He knows nothing about medicine. So what does the doctor say? What do the experts say? All over the world, they say, stay at home, stay safe. Or stay safe, stay home. This is precaution. Allah says take precaution. Did the Nabi ﷺ say we must take precaution? Definitely. He said, when there is plague in a place and you are in the place, don't leave it. It's a precaution you should take. And that precaution is not only about yourself. That precaution is about other people that you may infect. Because why does the Prophet say stay there if you're not going to infect anybody else? And the Prophet says, when you're outside that place, don't go inside that place where you may find the danger, where the plague is. So we told again, don't enter where the... We don't know what the chances are, but he says, don't enter there. Khalas. The possibilities, if you're going to imagine these other people, who are not as careful as what we are, who may have the virus, we don't know. We may be exposing ourselves to danger. And both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Take every single precaution. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there's danger, then don't go there if it's a plague. Again, here we take the advice of the medical profession. And we say to them, yes, there is ayah of the Quran where Allah tells us to take precaution, and there is hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should take precaution. And the Prophet himself took precaution by wearing armor when he went into battle. You could have said, well, you could tell the Sahaba, no, 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 you make jihad, you know, you're going to die, you're going to go to Jannah. Don't wear the armor. No. Precautions must always be taken for everything in life. Everything in life is like that. We must be careful how we live our life. And also, it recognizes the division of knowledge. Not everybody can be equally expert on everything. There are people who are experts on something and people not experts on something. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith narrated by Aisha in Sahih Muslim, is my final hadith, inshallah. The Prophet had newly arrived in Medina from Mecca, and the Prophet was Aisha, and the Prophet heard noises outside the house. He heard noises outside the house. I want to give you the way you can look up this hadith. This hadith is in Sunan of Ibn Majah, not Imam Muslim, sorry. Sunan of Ibn Majah, volume 13, book 16, hadith 2471, hadith 2471 of Ibn Majah. Aisha says, narrates that she heard the Prophet say to her, what are those sounds, Aisha? What noise outside? What is that noise? And the people said, the noise, Ya Rasulullah, is the palm trees are making that noise. People are busy pollinating the palm trees by hand. Pollinating it by hand. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Yaf'alu walau lam yaf'alu la salah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if they don't do this hand pollination, manual hand pollination, la salah, better for them. You should leave this. You shouldn't do this. So of course, him being the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَمْ يُعَبِّرُوا عَامَ إِذِنْ فَصَارَ شِيْخًا. So they stopped. Madina stopped. Now you must remember also why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't come from a dead growing area. Makkah is not a dead growing area. The dead growing area is Medina. So in that year, people didn't pollinate their trees. So what happened? The trees didn't bear so much fruit as it used to be. Farmers had a big loss because the fruit was much less than what it was in normal times. So of course they came, the Ansar came and they mentioned this to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, you told us we should not pollinate our trees manually. And this is what happened. So the Prophet ﷺ said to them, "In kana shay'an min amri dinikum, min amri dunyakum, if it's a matter about your dunya, fasha'nukum bi, then you understand all this, then you should make the decision." The Prophet didn't say, "Well, I'm a prophet, you know, so try it again next day and you'll see, maybe it'll come right." No, he said, look, this is matters this is agricultural matters. Prophet wasn't a farmer, he wasn't a date farmer. وَإِنْ كَانَ شَيْئًا مِنْ أُمُورِ دِينِكُمْ فَإِلَيَّ. And the Prophet said, but if it's something to do with your deen, then come to me, then consult me. After all, he's a prophet. So again, I always wonder why, what is the purpose of this hadith? The purpose of this hadith is to tell us, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that people have specialities and people have certain knowledge that other people don't have. And when it comes to consultation, you must ask the right person. So when it comes to physical illnesses, you go to a doctor. If it's maybe a mental issue, you go to a psychiatrist or you go to a psychologist, and so on and so forth. If it has to do with matters of deen, it is the alim, you go to him, he applies his mind, he gives you an answer. And if it's about a pandemic and about khudu hidrakum in a pandemic, what are the precautions we should take in a pandemic, then who do we go to? We go to the doctor or the specialist we have today. And he says, stay home, stay safe. stay away from crowds, stay away from malls. With a lot of people in the shop, don't go in. In other words, don't congregate anywhere where there's a lot of people. This is what the Prophet ﷺ has given us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the doctors, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring relief to the families whose loved ones are in hospital. Sheikh Fuad Jakut is in hospital. He's a friend of mine. There is Dr. Fuad Jakut, and the Sheikh of the Zavia, Sheikh Siraj Hendricks, is also, I believe, ill in hospital. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them and all the other Muslims shifa. رَبَّنَا أَذْهِبِ الْبَأْسَ أَنْتَ الشَّافِي لَا شِفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكَ شِفَاءً لَا يُغَادِرُ سَقَمًا نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ أَنْ يَشْفِيهِمْ وَيَشْفِ مَرْضَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. We ask Allah that Allah is the Shafi. Allah gives health and Allah gives well-being. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them health and well-being, inshallah, and to protect us from the virus. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَمٌ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.